Well, praise the Lord. I love that song. I wanted to jump up and start singing with them, but I don't think I would have been much help to them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17 tonight. And we'll be looking in the Word of God at a small sin with big consequences. Luke chapter number 17. I appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight, Pastor. Look forward to every opportunity that I get. Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's bow and ask God's blessing upon our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to meet together. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, you know that I need your help. And I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit's power, that I would preach in a way that's pleasing unto thee. Lord, help me to say only that you would have me to say, and withhold from my mouth anything that I should not speak. Do bless tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this familiar passage of Scripture, and we find that Jesus Christ had entered into a certain village. And along his way, he found 10 men that were lepers standing afar off. Now, these were disease-stricken men, men that had been declared unclean and by law separated from society. And they stand there outside of the city and they look up and they see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in. No doubt they had heard the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ and the many miracles which he had done. And when they see him, they begin to cry out for mercy from the Son of God. And as we look in this passage of Scripture tonight, I want you to see in verse 12, we see our Savior's compassion. Look with me again at verse 12. The Bible says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Jesus Christ had so much compassion and so much mercy on these men. Now, we can imagine that Jesus, as he went into this certain village, we would imagine that perhaps he was a little tired and a little weary. I mean, after all, back in this day, you couldn't just jump in your car and drive down the road to where you wanted to go. It took a lot of walking and riding, and no doubt Jesus Christ, as he was journeying, he gets into this certain city, there's a good chance that he was tired and weary. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, had humbled himself completely to the point to where he would hunger as we would hunger. He would thirst as we would thirst. And yes, he would be physically weary and tired as we often are. So perhaps as Jesus gets to this village, he's already a little tired and a little weary. In fact, we could think that maybe the Lord Jesus Christ was a little interrupted at the men that were crying out to him. You see, the Bible tells us that he had not yet reached this destination. Verse 11 tells us that he was on his way to Jerusalem. And as he came to Samaria and Galilee, he was just passing through. He had not yet reached the place to where he was heading. And this may not have been the most convenient of times. But outside the city, these men that stood afar off, they took note of the Lord Jesus Christ and they called out unto him. We see that the men who cried out, they were the rejected of society. The disease in which they had made them hard to look upon. This disease in which they had made it to where nobody else would come in contact with them because of this disease. And in fact, if you study your Bible, you'll find that this disease very often in the Bible is symbolic of sin itself. Therefore, this disease was very abhorrent. It was very a disgusting thing. And yet we find the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy, perfect Son of God, though He was tired and weary, though He was on His way and had not reached His destination, went out of His way when these disease-stricken men cried out for mercy from the Son of God. Can I tell you tonight, we serve a great God of compassion. He was not too busy to stop and pay attention to 10 men whom everybody else would have forgotten about. Nobody else would have went out of their way for these men, but when they cried out for mercy, even though it may not have been the most convenient time for our Lord, even though He might have been a little tired and a little weary, He had compassion on those that cried out unto Him. And He said unto them, "Go and show yourselves unto the priest." Now that's very interesting. In fact, it was by law the priests were the ones that would judge whether a man was leprous or clean. And when Jesus said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest," even in that moment He was fulfilling the law. He was telling them to do what the law said and go and show themselves unto the priest. And as they obeyed, something very interesting happens. The Bible says that as soon as they turned and headed toward the priest, they obeyed God's command. Maybe they were a little confused. Maybe they wondered why God had not healed them right there on the spot. But the Bible said that as they obeyed and as they went toward the priest, they were cleansed. They were healed of this disease. Can I tell you, we see right here the great compassion of our Savior. You know, God has had been so good to us. And how often in our own lives can we see the compassion that God has had upon you and I? Though we continually sin, we continually break the heart of God, our Bible affirms to us that He continually forgives us of our sins when we go for Him in prayer and ask. 1 John 1:9 says that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every single time when we go to God, though undeserving, though sinful, though we've hurt the heart of God because of our willful sinning, Jesus Christ, in His great compassion, every time is faithful to forgive. We didn't deserve it. And though undeserving, He blesses us every single day of our lives beyond measure. You know, the truth is tonight, the only thing that I deserve in my life, if God were to give me everything that I deserved, I would be in hell this very moment. I would be suffering the consequences of my sin because I am a sinner and I have rejected God's law and God's commandment. And yes, there are times in my life when I have willingly disobeyed God. The same thing is true about you tonight. And because of our sin and our willingness to disobey God, it only makes sense that it's by His grace and His mercy and His great compassion that even then He chose to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin. There's no way that I could ever make it to heaven on my own merit. But God's compassion, because He loved me, saw a sinner with no hope, and He sent His only Son to die on the cross for me and for you. Oh, the compassion of our Savior reaches down when we were undeserving. And you know, even after I've been saved, every day of my life, I am blessed more abundantly. Everything in my life I have is a gift from God. Every breath I take is a gift from God. You know, the truth is, God owes us nothing. There's not a single thing in this world that God owes us, yet out of His love and His compassion, He delights in hearing our prayers. He delights in answering our prayers. And you know, just as a leper, our sin has made us unclean, sinful before God, yet we serve a God of compassion. We serve a God who took time, though He was busy, though He was on His way to Jerusalem, He went out of His way to give a blessing unto 10 men who needed His help. I want you to see, number one tonight, we serve a great God of compassion. But when God shows so much love and devotion and compassion unto us, it demands a response. And we see here in our passage of Scripture tonight, there were two different responses that were given. We see a correct response, and then we see an incorrect one. Look with me down at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, saying, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Look at verse 19. And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." After the demonstration of God's love, out of these 10 men, the Bible says that there was one who returned, his heart filled with gratitude, and he gave thanks unto God. If you'll notice in verse number 15, the Bible said that when he returned unto God, he came with a loud voice and glorified God. He did it with a loud voice. His thanksgiving to God, his praise to God was a public act. The excitement for what God had done for him could be seen. It could be heard by anybody that was around. It was a public demonstration of his gratefulness and his praise. He didn't go and hide somewhere where nobody else could see him and in the silence and in the darkness, maybe ashamedly thank God for what was done. He did it openly. He praised God publicly. There would be no doubt to whom he was praising. Can I tell you tonight, when God does something for you and I in our lives, there ought to be a public praising of God. We need never be ashamed of our God and how He blesses us. And then after He made this public act, the Bible says that He placed Himself in the most humble of positions, on His face, and there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man gave thanks. You know, the truth is, he knew exactly who it was that had given him this gift. And because he returned in such a manner, because this man, his first desire was to turn back and give God glory and praise and honor, there was an extra blessing that was bestowed upon him that none of the rest of them got. Because he responded in such a way, God gave him this extra blessing. You know what it was? Look in verse 19. He said unto him, "Arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Verse 18 said, "There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." The extra blessing that this man had is God Himself took note of this man's faith. God Himself commended him for his faith because he returned to give glory unto God. And then the Bible throws in there that this man was a Samaritan. Now, you may say that this was the most unlikely of people to turn back and give God glory. If you remember, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They thought that God's love and God's grace was for them only, not for the Samaritans. And yet this Samaritan, the most unlikely, demonstrated far more faith than many of the Jews. And God took notice of his faith and gave him this added blessing. Now, this was the correct response for the daily mercies that were given unto this man. Can I tell you tonight, there should be a daily response that you and I have. As I mentioned a moment ago, the only reason that I'm here tonight is by the blood of Christ, as we heard sung just a moment ago. Everything that I have in my life is because of Christ. And there ought to be a daily spirit of thankfulness and gratitude for what God has. And when we respond in such a manner, there are added blessings above what God has already given to us. For this Samaritan, God took notice of his faith. The added blessings that come from this response, catch this, a grateful heart is a joyful heart. When we're busy understanding that all we have comes from God and we'll never lack for anything in our lives, God has blessed us beyond measure. Boy, it'll get you excited. There'll be a joy inside. A thankful heart is a content heart, one that lacks for nothing. Friend, you know tonight, God promises to meet and supply our every needs. And when we're aware of it, and when we have that heart of gratitude and understanding of what He has given unto us, we'll never lack for anything in our minds. We'll be content. We'll understand we have all that God has for us to get. Joy, contentment, and peace await those who have a spirit of thankfulness within their hearts on a daily basis. Now look with me down at verse 17. Here we see a completely different response. Verse 17, the Bible says, "Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Can you imagine with me? Go there in your mind's eyes. 10 men, disease-stricken men, cry out unto God for mercy. And God answers and heals them. And out of the 10, the Bible says only one returned to give glory unto God. What happened to the other 9? You know, they were healed just like the one. They received the same amount of love and compassion from our Savior, just like the one. Jesus had healed and blessed in the same exact manner as He had the one that returned. Yet the problem is their heart was in the wrong place. Their heart was set upon the wrong thing. Their desire was to enjoy the benefits of God's blessing. Now understand tonight, there's nothing at all wrong with enjoying the benefits of God's blessing. We should. But preceding us enjoying those blessings, there should be a spirit of gratitude toward the one who gave us the blessing. We find here that they had all they wanted. All they wanted was to get into the priest. Jesus healed them. He said, go to the priest. They go their way. They find that all of a sudden their skin has been healed. The disease was gone. And all that was on their mind, their only focus was to get to the priest as soon as possible, to be declared clean, to be welcomed back into society. Their desire to see their family and their friends that maybe they haven't seen in some time, to be able to hug somebody that they haven't been able to come in contact with. They knew that as soon as they could get to the priest, they could begin to reap the benefit of God's mercy. The moment they got there, they knew they would be declared clean. They would be welcomed back and they could enjoy the blessings of God. But the problem is, it seems as though they had forgotten the one who had blessed them in the first place. It seems as though they got exactly what they wanted from God and that was the end of it. They never returned to give glory to God. They never returned to give thanks unto the one who had given them such a blessing. Now, thank God tonight, we know that there was one who stopped to give praise to God. And though this one too had the same desires as the other 9, he too desired to enjoy those benefits. He too had family and friends that he desired to get to be able to enjoy the fellowship and their touch. Yet his priority was in the right place. His desire was first of all to thank the one who offered the gift before enjoying the benefits thereof. His heart was in the right place. His desires were in the right place. And as we look at this familiar story tonight, the truth is many of us can relate to this story. The sad part is the majority of us identify more with the 9 than we do with the 1. So often we find in our own lives that we go to God for help. How often do you, in your time of trouble and in your time of need, we run unto God and we beg God for help. There's a need in our life and we need God's help and God's power. And God hears and He answers our prayers. And as soon as we have what we want from God, the moment He answers that prayer, we jump straight into enjoying the benefits of that prayer without remembering to give thanks for the answer. How often is it we find ourselves maybe in a financial struggle? Have you ever had a need financially? Perhaps there was a bill that needed to be paid. Perhaps there was something that maybe it wasn't necessarily a bill that needed to be paid, but there was something you wanted to purchase. And it's something you really had to have, and you began to pray and ask God to send the money. Lord, please, I need this money. And as soon as God answers the prayer, He sends the money. And at that exact moment, man, you open the mailbox and there's a check. And boy, you're so excited. And you rip open that envelope, you get the check, go straight to the bank, and immediately apply that money to whatever it is you needed or that you wanted. And immediately the benefits are enjoyed. But God never received the glory from the money. God never received the praise and the honor and the glory from the prayer that had been answered. Oh, we were so excited and we were so glad to receive the answer to prayer. We were so quick to go to God and ask for help, but not so quick to return to Him and give Him the credit that was due. So often I believe that we find our lack of gratefulness toward God is because we feel like we did it on our own. Now the truth is, God brought the money. If we worked for it, God gave us the ability to work. whatever we have came from God, but we have this tendency and this idea to think that we deserve what we get. We earned it. It was on my shoulders to get this. It's not the case. It's on God's. And we need to stop being so self-centered that we recognize just what God has given unto us. I believe tonight that the sin of ungratefulness is one of the most common sins among God's people. I believe that this sin has led to many of the problems that we see in our world today. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find that time and time again throughout God's Word, when God's people were thankful, when they were giving glory unto God, when their heart was in the right place, God blessed their life abundantly. But the moment they lost their gratefulness, the moment they forgot about God, everything began to fall apart. You know, when we're not busy thanking God, we're not busy realizing what God has given to us, chances are we're busy doing murmuring, complaining. We find self-centeredness and covetousness that creeps into our lives. Look back in the Old Testament. Consider the nation of Israel as they wandered throughout the wilderness year after year. When you think about the nation of Israel, remember they were in Egyptian bondage for many years. And they began to cry out unto God for a deliverer. They began to cry out to God to bring them back into the promised land where He had promised them. And God had heard their cry. And God delivered them with a strong hand out of Egyptian bondage. God led them on dry ground across the Red Sea. Throughout the many years in the desert, God always, always provided for their need. Anytime they needed water, God would miraculously provide water twice through a rock. How does that make sense? It doesn't. It's the blessings and the miracles of God. God supernaturally provided for them. When they were hungry, God sent the manna down from heaven. They always had their needs provided. And as long as they were busy thanking God, as long as they recognized whom those blessings came from, boy, they were all right. They enjoyed the benefits and the blessings that God had given unto them. But the exact moment that they would forget about it, the exact moment they felt like it all came from them, they stopped giving the glory to God. They stopped being thankful to God for what they had. We find the exact opposite happened to the nation of Israel. How often they forgot about God's blessings and the complaining would come and the murmurings would come. The self-righteousness and the self-centeredness would come. They would covet other nations and what they had because they didn't realize what God had given unto them. And by doing so, they angered God. And God's judgment would fall upon them time and time again until they would repent and turn back unto God. Friend, tonight, God has been so good to us. God has blessed us beyond measure. And I believe it's time in our churches, in our families, in our own lives that many of us need to wake up and realize everything that we have, every good gift cometh from above. Everything we have comes from God Almighty. And if we were more busy thanking God for everything in our lives, if we were busy praising God for all that we have, you know what would happen? In our families and in our churches and in our homes, there would be far less complaining. In our churches and in our homes, there would be far less gossip and unhappiness. After all, why do people gossip in the first place? Well, most of the time, it's because they're so unhappy with their own lives, they have to talk about somebody else's. That's not honoring to God. We need to be so filled with joy and excitement with what God has given to us, it doesn't matter what anyone else has, because God has given unto us all that we need. If we would thank God for the things in our lives, there would be far less bitterness toward what other people have. That covetousness that tends to creep up in our lives when we feel like somebody else is blessed more than we are. It doesn't matter. We need to be thankful for what God has done and given unto us. There would be far less trouble in our churches and in our homes if we would get back to praising God and thanking God and giving Him the credit that He is due. The vast majority of people, they never grasp hold of this truth. Out of 10 men that were cleansed, only one that returned. Only 10% that came back to give glory unto God. You know, Pastor has been mentioning now that we're 3 weeks away from Roundup Sunday. And Pastor has challenged us to get a burden and to get a heart for lost souls, to be busy inviting folks to come to church on that day so they can hear the gospel of Christ, so that lost souls can have an opportunity to trust in Christ as their Savior. Can I tell you, one of the best ways that you can prepare yourself to go out and witness is to simply be grateful for your own salvation. Friend tonight, when was the last time you stopped and praised God for your salvation? How long has it been that you were so overwhelmed with God's goodness and what He did for us on the cross that you fell on your face and thanked God? Can I tell you, when you're grateful for your salvation, you think about it every day, friend, you'll find it very easy to turn around and tell somebody else about Christ. Out of that excitement, out of that overflow, it'll just come out in your regular speech. But the moment you lose that thankfulness to God for your salvation, when you have those valleys in your life and you have times that you go a long time without even thinking about the day you were saved, maybe you're there tonight. Can I tell you, friend, if you haven't thought about your salvation in a long time and it no longer moves you, you're going to have a hard time telling anybody else about Christ. And if you do, and you don't have that excitement and that passion, it's not real in your life, you're going to have a hard time convincing anybody else that our Savior deserves all the praise and the glory. It needs to be real. We need to be thankful to God. If we would just see that we don't deserve anything, every gift is from above, and God, out of His compassion, when He gives unto us, we ought to be grateful. You know, just in closing tonight, we're talking about this sin of ungratefulness. And it seems like such a small thing. It seems like something that's so easy to overlook. So easy to get past. So often we go throughout our day-to-day routine and we'll think about the times that we didn't pray. We'll think about the times that we didn't get in our Bible. We'll think about the lies that we told and the obvious sins. But when was the last time when you prayed and you began to confess your sins unto God, one of those sins was ungratefulness? It's so overlooked. We never think about stopping and asking God, Lord, forgive me. You've done this for me and I didn't thank You. Lord, You've given me all this and I've been so selfish and I've complained. Would You forgive me? I should have been grateful. Such a small sin, but it brings big consequences. When you lose your gratefulness, it affects you. It affects your family. It affects your church. If we were busy thanking God, we wouldn't be murmuring. We wouldn't be complaining. We wouldn't be self-centered. We wouldn't be covetous. You know, listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, these are some strong words from the Apostle Paul. How is it that this group of people became vain in their imaginations? How did their foolish heart become darkened? Thinking they were wise, they became fools. What happened? What led to this? He said they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. You know, the truth is, what led to that foolish heart being darkened? What led to that thinking they were wise becoming a fool? What led to those vain imaginations was the truth that they never gave glory to God. They were never thankful for what they had. And it cost them dearly. I wonder tonight, are there some Christians here? In your life, you find there's been some heartache and some trials. The way of the transgressor is hard, and you find that there's been some difficulties that have come about, and there's been some cost because of your spirit of ungratefulness. Your spirit of self-righteousness that everything you have, you earned, when the truth is, it was given to you by God. These 10 men, one of them got it right. One of them gave the glory to God that he was due. One of them praised God as he deserved to be praised. And that needs to be our testimony tonight. If Central Baptist Church would get busy recognizing God for who he is, giving glory to God for what he's done, friend, our church would be so much stronger. We would be out witnessing so much more. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says this, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How important is it to have a spirit of thankfulness? Well, God said very specifically, you can't mistake this commandment. God said, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's not just something that these nine men forgot to do. This was a direct command from God that they had disobeyed and broken. I don't know about you tonight, but when I read this story, I have an intense desire, and God deals in my heart, and I want to be that one. I want to be the one that in my life I return unto God for thankfulness. I want to be the one that returns and gives glory unto God. I want my life to please Him. I want to have the correct response to the mercies of God in my life. May God help us tonight to respond every day in the correct manner. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, tonight You saw the hands that were raised. Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us to be like the one that returned. Would You help us in our own lives to give glory and thanks unto Thee that is due. Do bless in the invitation tonight. As You've dealt with hearts, may they respond accordingly.